This is News West on VK6 ARN. That's VK6 Amateur Radio News. Today, News West looks at amateur radio history. We have news from a couple of clubs and a report from Glenn VK4 Delta United on his recent meeting with the ACMA in his role as President of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. And Glenn also discusses the WIA survey. And there's an interesting story from Dan interviewing Steve VK6 Charlie Sierra on his experience with microwaves. And there's Roy's helpline. Are you on your way to Peel Group's swap meet? If you're listening to the 9 a.m. broadcast, you've still got time to get there for the 10 a.m. opening time. If you're listening at 7 p.m, pour yourself another drink, it's all over. Here at News West, we strive to keep our news bulletins as interesting and relevant as we can to radio amateurs. Our news and magazine items come from a variety of resources and contributors, and any opinions expressed may not represent those of WA Amateur Radio News. News West is brought to you in the open spirit that is amateur radio.
On Sunday morning at 8:30, the Northern Corridor Radio Group meets at their headquarters at the Neil Penfold State Amateur Radio Centre. Access via Nangara Road for a working bee, barbecue breakfast, and no doubt a rag chew. All are welcome. The Wireless Institute Civil Emergency Network meets on Monday, February the 10th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 14 Henley Road, Ardross. On Tuesday, the 11th, Ham College meets at the Linwood Scout Hall inside the Whaleback Golf Course in Parkwood at 6 p.m. All are welcome. Prawn Heads continues to dine on Wednesdays at UNI Restaurant in Northbridge. All are welcome. That's it for the diary this week. If I've missed your meeting, then please let us know. Thanks to Eddie, VK6YA, for chasing up details so that we remain accurate.
In our round of themes for News West, next week we explore the world of new amateurs. What was your experience of being a new amateur? Whether your introduction to amateur radio was last week, last decade, or last century, how about telling your story? Hearing about your entry into the hobby will prove useful, or at the very least interesting, to newcomers. We've had a few people share their experience with us. How about you? The usual deal applies. Make your own recording if you can. Then send it, or your script, to newswest at vk6.net.
So in February 1950, there was the same moaning and groaning as has occurred recently with the introduction of FT8 and such like modes. A considerable number of amateurs these days are keen participants in a headlong race to qualify for admission to that exclusive fraternity, having its entry fee confirmation of contact made with amateurs in 100 different countries. While this is a laudable ambition, providing a deal of satisfaction to the persons fortunate enough to make the grade, there are some who take it just a bit too seriously and cannot waste time in a QSO in case they miss a rare one. Their QSOs follow a boring pattern of RST, WX, PSC, QSL, 73. They are always in a hurry to squeeze in a few more QSOs while the band is open. In this way, they miss a deal of the satisfaction to be derived from getting to know the personality behind the call sign. A little time spent in really making the acquaintance of the amateur himself and not just the call sign adds enjoyment to this hobby of ours. As to the coveted 100 countries, they'll mount up in time. Anyway, when you have them, what then? Probably you're set to and start to have a few real QSOs.
Hello everyone, I'm Glenn, VK4DU, the President of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. I met with ACMA in Melbourne on the 30th of January. We discussed a number of issues, including access to the bottom end of 6 metres by standard class amateurs, 1 kilowatt for advanced class amateurs, and streamlining of repeater licensing. These will all be covered in the forthcoming ACMA LCD consultation, which is scheduled for the second quarter of this year. An ACMA discussion paper on implementation of the 5 meg amateur band will be issued in the next few months. I again raise the issue of privacy of amateur licensing and address data and the public display of same on the ACMA Register of Radio Communication Licenses database. Whilst amateurs who do not wish their station address to be made public have traditionally used post boxes, this option is becoming expensive and is unavailable in some areas. ACMA acknowledged these concerns, but reiterated that the Radio Communications Act requires postal addresses to be available publicly, and that there is currently no discretion for the ACMA to not disclose this information on their online database. I also invited the WIA president to attend the meeting, in the spirit of cross-sector cooperation. No response was received. Cheers for now.
Perth Tech is on the 2nd of May. And if you haven't marked a spot on your calendar, you should. Saturday, the 2nd of May, all day from 8:30 onwards. And afterwards, we'll be adjourning across the road to the pub for dinner, for those who are able to stay. Order and pay for your own food and beverages. So that's easy. We've got some top-notch presenters lined up, however. We're still looking for a couple more Western Australians to make a presentation at Perth Tech. Where are you hiding? We've got some good wise men from the East coming, however, we need to balance it with some more locals. We're always hearing of interesting and sometimes new stuff going on around Perth. How about sharing your experiences with us? Now here's a promise, or a threat. Any gaps in the program will be filled by me singing. Is that an incentive enough for you to give it some thought? Give it a go. Visit the VK6.net website and fill in the simple form to lodge an abstract. All an abstract is a brief description of what you plan to talk about. If you're interested but not confident in presentation skills, talk to me sooner rather than later, and I can coach you in presentation skills. I'm experienced in both making presentations and in training people. Contact me by email to secretary@vk6.net. And then there's the raffle. We announced last week that the first prize is the new ICOM 705 portable software-defined radio, and it still is. We've placed the order for it. It's so new that we're not sure of the price. However, we're told to expect it to be a similar price to the 7300, and that delivery will be sometime early April. If I told you who looked after us with a good deal for prizes, would that be advertising? Should it remain strictly confidential for now? But anyway, Perth Tech, set it in your calendar and give some serious thought to sharing what you've been up to with your mates in WA Amateur Radio.
This is News West from VK6 ARN.
As the old song goes, some things never change. AR Magazine, February 1980. CQDX Group reformed. Owing to internal problems, the CQDX Club has been reformed. Irresponsible and selfish behaviour on the part of a minority of the members, and the fact that the hams in the group have now found that they have little in common with the CB element, caused the whole concept of the club to be reviewed. It must be pointed out that though the CBers in the club were amongst the most responsible of the members, there was little to offer them once those who wished to attain amateur status had done so. So far, five amateurs have rejoined, and, so far, these amateurs are the only members of the new club. Three or four former members are being approached to rejoin, and a couple of others have been excluded. The group is now strictly an amateur DX group. There are no official officers and no dues other than the willingness to cooperate with each other. The new rules are simple. Go all out for DX by all means, but never forget to help others whilst you're doing it. The code set down by Paul Segal still applies. In short, give your mates a go, an old Australian tradition that seems to be less in evidence these days.
At News West, we solicit contributions from clubs and individuals. In fact, we prefer to publish your stuff over ours, because News West is a news service for amateur radio in Western Australia. Like any publisher, there has to be a cut-off time for news items to be submitted, and being a weekly program, these timelines are a bit tight. The deadline for items submitted to go to air on News West on Sunday is noon on Friday. The program is compiled on Friday afternoon or early Saturday morning. Although News West is often published earlier, the official publication time is noon Saturday, Western Australian Standard Time, which is 0400 UTC for those playing outside of Western Australia. It's difficult to incorporate late arrivals, so we don't usually do it. Our preference is always for your item to be recorded in your own voice. The preferred format is MP3, mono, 256 kilobit quality. However, if that's not possible for you, just use any popular format at the highest quality available. We use Audacity, which is free software that runs on Linux, OS X and Windows. Some people are getting good results using a smartphone as a voice recorder. The best way to make a good recording is with the least amount of background noise. If some background noise is inevitable, speak a bit louder and maybe a bit closer to the microphone. Think about signal-to-noise ratio. Please don't process the life out of your recording. The more processing that goes on, the less natural the recording sounds. If you're not sure about processing the audio file, just send it to us as it is. We receive all contributions via email, and the email address is newswest@vk6.net. Don't send them to my personal email address, or Andrew's, or any other team member's personal email. The NewsWest email address lands in the inbox of every team member, ensuring that it will be picked up and actioned. So, thanks for your contributions. They're always welcome. When they arrive by the deadline, they will be in Sunday's news. We'll even drop some of our schedule items to make room, or maybe run a little overtime. The address again is newswest@vk6.net, and we look forward to hearing from you.
From AR Magazine, January 2000. 2000 Technology, Friend or Foe? When I started to write this month's article, I hit the Save As icon and typed in the name Jan00. This is the first time I've used the 00 to represent the year 2000. Having passed my 50th birthday and been involved in amateur radio since my early 20s, this is an interesting time to reflect on what changes I've seen in this 30 years. Technology is the number one change. We operate amateur equipment that was not even thought of or could even be thought of some 30 years ago. Valve still dominated the amateur radio scene 30 years ago. Guessing the future of amateur radio in terms of technology is impossible, but digital would appear to be the future. The declining lack of amateur numbers is one area that we would not have predicted 30 years ago. It was always assumed that our numbers would steadily rise. In fact, one reason for having an amateur exam was to restrict numbers, as we all assumed that one day there would not be enough spectrum space, particularly on RHF bands. We sure got that one wrong. And the surprising point is that the technology killed off our numbers. It gave us better radios, but it also gave young people more options in the technology field. And many of these prospective young amateurs moved into computers, the internet, and many other technological activities, but not amateur radio. Regulations are the number one little change over the past 30 years. Attitudes have changed somewhat, but we are still tied by government regulators, and I believe to our disadvantage. However, I will say the regulatory body, the ACA, has changed greatly over the past 30 years. With reduced staff numbers and a more customer-focused direction, the regulator is hardly recognisable from 30 years ago. There is big money and community expectations in Spectrum, and the ACA have a big job keeping up with technology and community and business needs. Amateur radio is way down the list, and as a hobby activity, amateur radio can expect little more. But as we have been shunted down the list of importance, what should have changed is the amount and complexity of amateur regulations. We should be self-regulating, but we aren't. Self-regulation has been talked about, but that's all. We are still completely over-regulated, and I see little reason to believe it will change. This is signed AR, and really shows that nothing has changed in the last 20 years.
From AR Magazine, February 1960. TVI. You can't win. To the editor, AR. Dear Sir, what constitutes TVI? The other day, a local Z licensee was reported to the radio inspector for causing interference to Channel 2. He was simply pouring in, according to the report. I might mention, the TV set in question was home-built, from ex-disposal parts, and is located about 700 miles from the nearest TV station, while the amateur was approximately 2 miles distance, airline. After inspection of his station, he was given a clean bill from the interference. How far have you got to be from a TV station before you have to worry about TVI? Also, the distance before you pay the viewing fee of £5. Bob Wilson.
Hi, this is Dan, VK6NAD, and you're listening to News West.
Hello everyone, I'm Glenn, VK4DU, the President of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. Foundation licensees were granted digital modes by ACMA in September 2019. However, the four-letter suffix call signs used by FL are not fully compatible with many popular radio data programs, such as FT8 and APRS. FLs need a call sign with a three-letter suffix to fully utilise their new privileges. Greg Kelly, the WAA president, and I discussed the call sign issue over numerous telephone calls and emails in October 2019. The WAA proposal of removing the link between suffix and license, the so-called call sign for life, represented a fundamental change, so it was agreed that the views of amateurs should be sought via a survey. Oh, and by the way, the Q block cannot be used, as it would provide a short-term solution only. There are insufficient call signs available in the block for the populous states, Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria. So, there are only two realistic options, removing a link between the suffix and the license grade, or a new prefix, VJ. The pros and cons of each option were detailed in the introductory text to the RASA survey. RASA's position has always been that we would be guided by the outcome of our survey. If the survey was in favour of the WIA proposal, we would support it. The outcome of the RASA survey was that a majority preferred option 2, the VJ prefix. So, after significant delay, the WIA have embarked upon their own opt-in survey, effectively ignoring those of you who voted in the RASA survey. Of course, this poses the question, would the WIA have accepted the outcome of the supposedly flawed RASA survey if it was in favour of their option? Of course they would have. The WIA have always wanted their own option to go ahead. They don't really care what you think, as evidenced by the blatantly partisan background survey document they circulated recently. They want you to vote as they dictate. The RASA survey simply outlined the options and their relative pros and cons, without dictating a preferred position. We left it to you to decide. We did not tell you how to vote, because we value your opinion. Removing the link between call sign suffix and license class is a significant change for Australian amateur radio. Multiple suffixes have been in place since the introduction of the limited license, or the Z call, in 1954. A VJ prefix for FLs, the preferred option from our survey, would stimulate HF operation. FLs would be very popular with DX stations. ACMA have told us that they have no objection to implementing VJ. So, FLs could have been enjoying a new, distinctive prefix and all the features of their new modes 3 months ago. It is naive to think that a simple change to call signs will guarantee inclusive behaviour. History shows that there was elitism back in the days of a single class of licence. Sadly, some amateurs will never change their attitude towards those who they believe to be inferior. This is simply human nature. The best way to deal with bullies is to stand up to them and, in this case, call them out for what they are. If you are voting in the WIA survey, use your judgment, evaluate the options, and make your own decision. Think about what is best for the hobby now and into the future. Cheers for now.
And here's a couple of items that should have been in the Club Focus program last week, but they arrived a little late to get in there. So here they are this week. The first one comes from the Hills Amateur Radio Group, affectionately known as HARG, and this group was founded in 1983 with the objectives of bringing together amateur radio operators, citizen band operators wishing to upgrade to amateur radio status, and shortwave listeners in the maintenance and furtherance of the amateur radio spirit. The group's club shack is located in the hills east of Perth at the Pax Hill Guide Hall, located at the corner of Sanderson and Brady Roads in Les Murdy. Official club days are the second and last Saturday of the month, when they have a formal meeting at 2 p.m. On other Saturdays, the shack's open from around noon, and members generally gather around the barbecue for a sausage sizzle from around 12:30. Haag has kicked off the new decade with improvements to the shack that will make it more comfortable for members. And the team of Rob VK6LD and Peter VK6LB have recently installed an all-star node in the shack to supplement the APRS DigiPeter. Further improvements to digital modes are planned in the near future. Upcoming activities include the John Moyle Memorial Field Day, which is on the 21st and 22nd of March. That's next month, folks, when the club will be travelling to Mount Dale. The annual Haag Fest, which will be held on Sunday the 19th of April, not only provides you an opportunity to visit the trading tables and catch up with old friends, but you'll also be able to experience the famous Haag Burger, as it will make one of its rare appearances at the event. Are you yet to experience the elusive Haag Burger? Well, add it to your bucket list and come along on the 19th of April so you can cross it off. Listen out for further particulars over the coming weeks. The club has a friendly atmosphere and visitors are always welcome, particularly those that are new to the hobby or interested in starting out on the journey of obtaining their F-call. Social activities are enjoyed alongside the technical aspects of the hobby, with field days offering the opportunity to combine the two. So come along and join the friendly bunch at the Hills Amateur Radio Group, that's Haag, on a forthcoming Saturday afternoon. To find out more about Haag, visit their website, www.haag.org.au. So that's www.hotelalfaromeogolf.org.au.
Hi, this is Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, Publicity Officer for the Northern Corridor Radio Group. Main activities taking place this month were around our towers for the 20-metre monobander and the UB640. The 20-metre monobander tower was modified over two sessions to become a tilt-over mast, and the mast was lowered. Next step will be to replace the mast itself, and it will now be used to support a couple of wire antennas. We also carried out some maintenance on the UB640 40-6 metre Yagi. 10 members of the club attended a tour of the decommissioned HMAS Ovens, an Oberon-class submarine at the Fremantle Maritime Museum, including one member who had actually served on the O-boats. We conducted one exam last week, so looking forward to adding another call sign to the club membership register soon. Plans are now underway to compete in the John Moyle Field Day contest, and we'll be once again travelling to the Peruna Wildlife Sanctuary in the stunning Avon Valley. This will be the fourth or fifth visit to the sanctuary for the John Moore Field Day, and all at the club are looking forward to this event. A reminder that we meet every fourth Tuesday evening at 19:30, and we welcome new members. It is a vibrant club with lots of different activities happening. We also have a particularly good remote station that many of the members of the club use regularly. The contest team at the club is always looking for more participants. We also informally meet every Sunday morning for a sausage sizzle, and this is when much of the work around the station occurs. Again, all are welcome to attend, visitors, members and prospective members alike.
This is VK6 ARN, Amateur Radio News for Western Australia.
Greetings, one and all. This is Helpline 2020 for the 9th of February. We're still looking for that stolen Barrett 2050 HF SSB transceiver at 125 watts, 3 to 30 megahertz. If you see a 2050 for sale anywhere and can get a look at its serial number, just match it with 2050 14662, and if it's the same, please tell the police department. We'll start along with its antenna tuning unit and all the cables. Just it is a couple of weeks old now, so it might be coming out for sale somewhere. For today, I have for sale an MFJ901 Bravo antenna tuning unit, and Philip is asking for $110 for this unit. $110 takes it, he says. They are $250 new. Pick up Mandra, or we'll post with the cost of the mail. Thanks, says Philip. He may be contacted on 0434431112. Again, 0434431112. That's 1112. And that's for an MFJ901 Bravo antenna tuning unit. That is all for this week. If you have an item for next week, the email address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. And thank you once again for listening, and 673 till next time.
And to wrap up this week, here's an interesting story. introduced by Dan VK6NAD, and it's a story from VK6CS Steve, and Steve talks about his experience with microwaves.
Hi, this is Dan VK6NAD. This week I thought I'd bring you a social aspect of being a member of your local amateur radio club, recorded at the Haag Sausage Sizzle fundraiser. This is the infamous story best told by the man himself, Steve CS.
All right, well, I was repairing the roof. So I had some reasonably large gaps in the roof where tiles were missing. In the summer, didn't bother. I thought, well, it's not going to rain, why worry about it? I live in the hills, and it didn't occur to me, of course, that the hills is full of wildlife. I'd never actually seen a possum up to this point. And I heard some funny noises where I keep my microwave, which is above the oven in the kitchen. If you can picture this, it's the oven is sort of recessed into a brick alcove-type arrangement, and above that is where the microwave sits, and above that is the vent where it vents into the roof space. And I thought, well, there's some critters in the roof, so I'd better put something over this aperture where the microwave is to prevent any critters that come through the vent from getting actually into the house. So what I did was I got some gaffer tape and I taped a really strong, one of those really strong white bags you get from Bunnings to put all your garden trimmings in. You know, you can't poke a hole in it very easily. I taped that with gaffer tape over this aperture. So if you can imagine, it's about a metre and a bit tall, probably a metre wide. So now I can no longer see the microwave. The oven is below that, if you can picture that. Anyway, I heard a lot of banging and crashing and banging and crashing. I thought, this was during the night, probably 1 a.m, woke me up, and I thought, there's some kind of critter trying to get back through the vent. So I thought, what I'll do to assist the critter, because I didn't want to take the sack off and have the thing running around in the house at 1 a.m. I've worked the following day, so I thought what I'd do is I would push the microwave back against the wall through the hessian, through the plastic sack, if you can imagine. So I can't see the microwave. I pushed the microwave, I felt it with my fingers, and I felt it so that it went up against the back wall. In this process, I heard a click, which was the microwave oven door closing. The noise stopped. Oh, great. I went back to bed. No problem. Following night, bang, crash, bang, crash, bang, crash. Hell of a row, you know. And I thought, it sounded like some critter clawing metal. And it sounded like it was trying to... something else has got in there. It's on top of the microwave. It's trying to get through the vent. So anyway, same the next night, because I was at work, and, you know. When I come home, during the hours of daylight, so I get home 4:30, go to bed about 11:30, midnight, no noise whatsoever. 1 a.m, bang, crash, wallop.
Steve, how many days had elapsed at this point?
Three, I think. So, anyway, happened again, and I think this might have been... No, this might... That's right, happened again on the Friday night, so this would have been the weekend. So I thought, okay, let's take the sack off and close the vent off. Stick some mesh over the vent. Now, when I took the sack off, I could then see the microwave. And as I looked at the microwave, I could see this little face looking at me. And I thought, what on earth is that? It does look like a rat. Now, I'd never actually seen, you know, I'm a pom, as you can probably tell by my voice. I've never seen a possum, never seen a picture of a possum. So I thought, oh, crikey, this thing's been stuck in there for 4 days. So anyway, I picked the microwave up and I took it out into the front garden. When I put it out in the front garden, quickly set a camera up. I thought, well, if it's been in there for 4 days, it can wait another 10 minutes, you know. Set the camera up so I could film this thing coming out of the microwave. I popped the button on the microwave, and as I'm sure you'll know, if you've got a microwave, they spring open. The door sprung open, and there was a few seconds delay, as it obviously wondered what was going on, and then it came out of there like a cannonball out of a cannon. So even though it had been in there for 4 days, it still had plenty of power in that animal. Absolutely unbelievable. And it shot out, and it went straight up a tree, turned round, so its tail was in the air, and its head was facing downwards, and just sat there looking at me. So anyway, I left it at that. I looked inside the microwave, and I'm sure you can imagine what I saw inside it.
So now when you go outside at night, there's a row of red eyes looking at you from some of the trees, I believe. Do you feel safe walking out the window? No colanders on the head.
Yeah, but I wear a colander on my head most of the time.
And on that bombshell, this is...
VK6S.
Last year, WA Amateur Radio News wrote to both the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, RASA, and the Wireless Institute of Australia, WIA, inviting them to be regular contributors to News West. RASA accepted our invitation, and the WIA declined it. Did you notice the quick promo for the Hills Amateur Radio Group's Haag Fest? It was hiding in the promo for Haag Burgers, which of course you only get at Haag Fest. Haag Fest is on the 19th of April if you missed hearing it. As you heard earlier, next week we target new amateurs and we'd love to hear your story, no matter how old it is or how old you are. Start writing. Thanks to the team this week, Andrew, Roy, Dan and Mike, and thanks also to our guest contributors. NewsWest is produced by WA Amateur Radio News. You can contact us by emails to newswest@vk6.net and our website is vk6.net. If you're listening on air, please stick around for the callbacks. If you're listening via podcast or download, you can go to vk6.net to record your callback. This is VK6 Amateur Radio News signing. Now get on air and make some noise.